are the New York Knicks.
I'm back. Back in the New York.
Well, it's the Knicks.
New York, New York.
New York be about the Knicks, huh?
But the best thing about New York City is
K-N-I-C-K-S.
Everybody say go New York, go New York, go!
Hey everybody, welcome to the New York Knicks podcast, episode 369, part of the Almighty Baller Podcast Network. AlmightyBaller.com, TheNewYorkKnicksPodcast.com, all your basketball needs.
All right. And the New York Knicks, where hopefully, where one day, we hope to root for a team that's good enough to be called just a dumpster fire. we're trying to get to that level.
We're putting out the flaming part.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, we have a ways to go. We have to get a lot right before we're just a dumpster fire. We're way below a dumpster fire at this point.
I think we're only two or three pieces away from a dumpster fire.
I think we're worse than a dumpster fire. I think we give dumpster fires a bad name. Let me ask you a question, Jay.
Okay.
Tell me. Bleacher's ding almost rings the bell, but I learned you don't change the spot on a leopard with Michael Graham in my CBA days.
Did you just freestyle poetry at me? Did you just do a poetry slam at me?
Yeah, I'm hitting you with some poetry. I'm jamming with this. Do you want me to try again?
Okay.
Bleacher's ding almost rings the bell, but I learned you don't change the spot on a leopard with Michael Graham in my CBA days.
What's happening right now?
I'm reading the best of Phil from Twitter.
Oh, God, he's back on Twitter.
Oh, you didn't see this? This is his latest tweet from today, from 3 p.m. today. That was his tweet. Ding was the author of an article that was written on Bleacher Report, which basically said – the problem from day one with this team was that Phil wanted Melo to be something he's not, and that was like problem number one.
Andrew pointed out that dumpster fires are offended to be compared to the Knicks.
Yeah, I could see that. So basically, the idea from the article was that Melo was always what Melo is. He's a great scorer. Not the best defensive player, not really necessarily a leader, he's not Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant, and Phil thought he could make him that player.
So it's like when a girl dates a bad boy saying, I can change him.
Yeah, kind of. Phil was like, oh, I can change you, Melo. When you're with me, I'll make you the kind of man I want you to be.
And then just like the girl... he's confused when he keeps drinking and sleeps with other women.
Or in this case, doesn't pass like he should and doesn't play defense.
Right.
And,
okay, we get the analogy.
And goes, no, Melo, stop going ISO. You said you wouldn't do it anymore. I can't help it, honey.
It's who I am. Don't try to change me.
Why does Phil, but like, he doesn't speak to the media, just shoots tweets out. They're less comprehensible than what comes out of Donald Trump's like tweet or Twitter account.
Should I assume that some parties were offended by it and it caused a stir?
I mean, wasn't the point of Phil being here? There's so many points. Like, a Bill sustainable winner, which obviously not going too well. And at the very least, you would say, make it a place where free agents want to come.
Yeah.
And if you're a free agent, you're like, do I want to go to that team New York dumpster fire team that in which the team president sends nasty, if not backhanded, tweets about me. That sounds like a good idea.
Right.
But the team president's probably dumb enough to give me a contract that includes a no trade clause. So maybe. So before we start talking, so the Knicks this week, what did they do this week? They lost to the Wizards, beat the Nets. That's amazing. Lost to the Cavaliers and lost to the Lakers.
Barely beat the Nets.
Barely played against the Lakers.
They were down by, what, like 27 points at one point?
Well, they came back and they sat Melo in the fourth quarter because they had to go on a run. I want to play a game.
Okay.
Start the show. Let's play a game called... I didn't remember the name. I should have thought of a title for the game. But is your dumpster fire worse than ours?
Okay.
Going with the dumpster fire theme. And so we take a team and we say, are they a bigger mess than the New York Knicks?
Okay.
First, the New York Liberty. First, they're not even an NBA team. Mm-hmm. There are no one on the team can even dunk. And I think there's not even a man on the team. So are they in worse shape than the Knicks?
They do make the playoffs, though.
God damn it. The only New York team that can make the playoffs. The next team. Are they a bigger dumpster fire than the Knicks? The Phoenix Suns. The Phoenix Suns at one point, and this is a lot of this is taken. There was an article about clownery about the, in Sports Illustrated. They had an article about which team was the biggest clown in the NBA, which kind of inspired this bit, slash we're just copying the damn bit. they had one point had Isaiah Thomas, Goran Dragic, and Eric Bledsoe on the roster, and a top five pick. And they chose to give Isaiah Thomas away, let Dragic walk, keep Bledsoe, the injury-prone one, and with a top five pick, draft Alex Len because apparently they don't really want to use their top five pick well.
They do have Trevor Booker, who is going nuts right now. Devin Booker.
They're pretty bad, but Devin Booker does look pretty good. So they have one pretty good young player.
It's close. I mean, they have cap space. They don't have any terrible contracts.
They have some draft picks. I think they probably have their draft pick this year, which, I mean, the Knicks do also.
So, I mean, their backcourt is really good. The Bledsoe Booker backcourt's nice.
Okay, so Knicks or Phoenix wins this?
I'm going to call that one a draw.
Okay. Knicks versus Kings.
Oh, wait.
What?
They seem to do kind of have a coherent plan.
Well, isn't it unfair to have a plan? That's my entire argument. I can't believe the Knicks have just no plan.
I'm going to give Phoenix the edge just for having some semblance of a like they need upgrades to certain positions, but they actually have players at every position. Whereas we have a walking corpse as our starting center.
Yes.
It's pretty much Weekend at Bernie's as a starting center.
Well, it will change that when we start Hernan Gomez. So Hernan Gomez is young and good. He could be our starting center. They have Tyson Chandler, who's flat out better than our Noah.
Yeah.
There was an argument also made. I heard recently a member of the New York media made how, like, it's ridiculous that the Knicks fans think they should need to rebuild. And that's going to take 5 to 7 years. We can both rebuild and win now at the same time.
Said every Knicks GM for the last 17 years.
And this argument was made, like, yesterday. Not after watching this entire year. It was made yesterday by an absolute – I don't want to call anyone's name, calling anyone out, but by an absolute insane person.
Oh, I mean, have you God. Not seen that they've been trying to do that for 15 straight years?
Yeah, be bad for the next 5 to 7 years. We're gonna be bad anyway.
Right.
At least head towards somewhere. Anyway, the next one –
Plus, rebuilding doesn't take 5 to 7 years.
Well, yeah. I mean – You know, in 5 to 7 years, maybe we'll have a sustainable winner. Not like this patchwork. There was a quote from Hornacek in which he said, sometimes you can try, and I'm paraphrasing, sometimes you can try to cut corners in trying to try to make the playoffs and try to win now, but that can be cutting corners and missing and skipping steps can hurt you in the long run.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe Hornacek's not doing necessarily a great job as coaching. Maybe he could be our GM instead. Kings versus Knicks. Kings have DeMarcus Cousins. Mm-hmm. They have 3,000 first top 10 picks they've had in the last 10 years, and it's assembled no one around DeMarcus Cousins. They have a complete inability to assemble anyone, and the best guy they drafted with the last pick in the NBA draft, they drafted Isaiah Thomas and gave him away for literally nothing.
They are a bigger dumpster fire than the Knicks.
They do have DeMarcus Cousins. He's a very good player. He wants to leave. He signed a contract. He's probably staying, I guess.
The list gets pretty short after Cousins.
It doesn't get short. It's over. It's literally over. They have that guy from Kentucky who I actually kind of wanted. Cauley Stein, who they barely play, and they don't really want him here anymore.
Yeah, no, they're definitely worse off.
Okay. Next on the list, the LA Lakers, which I'm kind of biased in favor of the Lakers here. Well, I guess against the Knicks here because they just destroyed the Knicks last night.
But they have a lot of young guys.
But they're all bad. I mean, they're all not very good. Like they've had a lot of high picks. Do you think any of these guys are all that great?
Not yet. I mean, Ingram's been a disappointment, but I mean, he's what, 19?
He's 1 year in the league. He's not even a year in the league. I can't like really kill Ingram, but I am gonna say that I'm not that impressed by Randall. I am not that impressed by Russell.
Yeah,
Jordan Clarkson's not bad.
Clarkson
but
looks good.
They really are pretty bad. You would think with all the young players, they'd be a little better.
They did that ridiculous Mozgov contract.
Plus, if they get a top three pick in the draft this year, which they possibly could, they have to give that away.
I thought it was top three protected.
Is top three protected? Oh, yeah. They have to stay within the top three or else they don't get the pick. I thought it... Yeah, I guess that would make sense. I guess the other way didn't make any sense, that they lose it only in the top three. So they're probably not going to have the number three pick, the number one pick this year. But they do have a lot of young guys. They also have a good coach.
Yeah.
They probably have more of a plan than the Knicks. And they've been trying to lose and get young players. So they seem like they have more of a plan than the Knicks.
Yeah, no, I would say they're in better shape.
Chicago Bulls openly calling each other out for not playing, not giving a lot of effort.
Bulls might be a bigger mess.
They're in the playoffs, though.
Right now. They're clean.
Yeah. Even when they're a complete mess, they're in the playoffs. Butler's still pretty good.
Jimmy Butler's
though
really
good. They're trying to trade him, I think.
I don't know. They've been saying that for like 2.5 years. I mean, almost everyone on that team other than Butler is underperforming.
Yeah.
And they
Did you know Dwayne Wade, he learned how to shoot the three in the offseason? And now he's shooting more threes than ever.
Really?
Yeah.
The announcer should mention that every time he shoots a three.
They should mention that sometimes. the Bulls, they have some good... I feel like the Bulls just are a better team still. They have more to work with.
Well, they're a better team, but, I mean, you're talking about, like, future.
Future, yeah.
I don't know. I mean, what are the young good guys that they have that you would want?
Jimmy Butler.
Yep.
Butler, first name Jimmy. I guess what's his name's not that young anymore. Taj Gibson's not really young anymore, right?
No, he's like 31.
Yeah, no, he's old. I don't know, who else have they got?
Mirotic, who's playing really bad now.
Mirotic was good. That's the guy I was thinking of. They got Jerry and Grant, who doesn't look that great.
No, he doesn't.
Okay, moving on. The New York Brooklyn Nets.
Okay, well, that team is clearly a bigger mess.
That's the one that's definitely a bigger mess. The Knicks have the Nets beat. There's no one on the Nets. The Nets have Brooke Lopez. They're holding out for two number one picks for him. Who in God's name is going to give two number one picks for Brooke Lopez? And they have nothing else on the roster. Plus, they are tanking in a year they don't have their first round pick.
Right. No, they do. They just have to swap it with Boston. Yeah.
They have to swap with Boston. So they basically are turning the number one pick in the draft into the number 18 pick in the draft or number 20 pick in the draft. 23 pick in the draft, probably.
Yeah.
That's a giant disaster.
Right now, it would be the 25th pick.
So what a rivalry they've built. They moved to Brooklyn, and the Knicks and the Nets rivalry is solely determined which team is a bigger embarrassment to the NBA.
Yeah, I don't think either team had this in mind when they were talking about a New York rivalry.
I guess their rivalry, the idea was if they keep, they're going to keep going against each other until New York doesn't give a shit about basketball anymore.
they're doing a good job.
Yeah. So the rumors going on that LeBron is urging Cleveland on to trade Kevin Love to the Knicks, and Chris Paul's urging the Clippers on to do whatever they can to get Melo.
Here's the thing. I keep seeing stories about how LeBron is not happy with Cleveland spending. They broke all records of spending. They're $20 million over the cap.
They're listen, they're only spending $12 million more than the second place team, and that's ridiculous. You got to spend $100 million more.
Does he not understand, like, how the cap works?
I don't understand how the cap works. How do you spend more this much more than the cap?
I don't know. I feel like just shut up and play ball. This is the same team that won the championship last year.
Listen, if they were to do their listen, they need Kevin. They have to force Kevin Durant to play on the Cavs.
That's what this is all about.
So does it? Yeah. Well, that's obviously what it's all about because he sees that, like, hey, Golden State looks like they're going to be tough to beat this year, and I need more reinforcements. And I understand that he probably does need reinforcements this year because Golden State looks really good.
Yeah, but stop whining about it.
Well, here's what he needs to do. They need to play Boston in a seven-game series, and after Boston loses, Isaiah Thomas will do the honorable thing and sign with Cleveland.
Like that guy in fantasy who, when he gets eliminated from the playoffs, just releases everyone on his team.
Or that guy that played for the Oklahoma Thunder last year and said, can't beat him, join him.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what do you think about the Love? So Phil seems like he wants to get Kevin Love.
Of course he does.
Based on my sources, they say he's going for Kevin Love. Does that make sense on any level?
No.
Okay, there you have it. Solid analysis.
I mean, Love is younger.
It only makes sense if you're trying to trade him then for assets.
Right, because from a basketball sense, you're getting another poor defender at the four. He's a better rebounder. He is maybe a better three-point shooter.
And Melo's arguably a better player.
Yeah. I mean, it's like they both have pluses and minuses about their game. But
also,
still,
you're
have a guy who's 28. It still doesn't fit the timeline with Porzingis.
Plus, you're trying to rebuild around Porzingis and now Hernan Gomez. And where do they play with Love? You're going to go a lineup with three, like, seven-footers?
Right. It's like, oh, we have got Porzingis, Hernan Gomez, the front court of the future. Oh, we'll just throw in another power forward.
Yeah. Your next move should be a guard. You need guards. Maybe a small forward.
Yeah. I don't have any problem with Lee, but he's 31. Like, we should sell high on him.
Oh, yeah. I mean, any GM/coach who has any goddamn clue, I mean, the ones that aren't on the Knicks, would be trying to sell high on everyone.
And like, Lee is one of the few people playing good. You can actually get something, a contender that, you know, thinks that they're maybe a three-point shooter away from, you know, I bet San Antonio would jump at a guy like Lee.
You can get a first-round pick. You need Lee, Rose, if you take back a bad contract, and get a first-round pick. And you should do that because you're going to be bad anyway for the next 3 years. Plus, we're locked into Noah's contract, so we're going to be bad. We don't get to use part of the salary cap. The Noah contract was a disaster from day one, but it's a perfect excuse just to hey, we're not going to compete the next 3 years anyway. We'll take back a bad contract to get a first-round pick. And then Melo, I don't know what they're going to get. But if they get Kevin Love, you could probably swap him for a first-round pick somewhere else. And a good first-round pick, probably.
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah, you would think you could turn Kevin Love into someone decent. I don't know. And for the Cavs, though, if you're the Cavs, are you really trading? Like, you won the title last year, and I know you want to upgrade, but are you really going to trade Kevin Love for Melo?
I probably don't. I don't know if they want to go full offense, but I would take a Tristan Thompson.
Yeah, I mean, they probably are more reluctant to give up Tristan Thompson than they are to give up Kevin Love.
I bet the Knicks didn't even ask about Tristan Thompson. In fact, my sources told me that they didn't even ask.
My sources told me that Phil Jackson is stealing $12 million a year from the Knicks. I still don't get what he does on a daily basis. So you want to talk about the games?
Sure, let's talk about these games.
Okay, so the Wizards game, the Knicks
got stomped.
Stomped. That's the Knicks came really close to giving a crap.
This was Rose was still injured.
Well, they kept it close in the first quarter. End of the first quarter, it was tied, and from there, you're kind of like, being a dick if you're if you want them to keep competing.
The Knicks are good at. They usually play at least one good quarter a game.
So let's talk about a bigger issue. Porzingis. Not only is this team crap, their player that they are most interested in building around has looked terrible for the last month or so.
He's looked really bad.
He looks completely lost on offense and defense. He doesn't look like he's giving full effort anymore. And I think part of it, he doesn't know his place on the offense anymore.
Well, the thing is, he looks a lot better when there's ball movement.
Yeah.
And we have a point guard that doesn't pass.
The thing is, he looks great in traffic. He looks great when you pass him the ball while he's moving. You get him moving towards the basket. He's a great finisher at the rim. He's a very good finisher at the rim. And 7'3", it's hard to stop him when he's heading to the rim. He's such a weapon moving to the rim. And the Knicks do that once every other game.
They barely hit him. Before the game starts, Porzingis is like, all right, what should I do? And they're like, stand by the three-point line and mope.
Yeah. You see him a lot of times. He's like, I guess maybe I'll – the Knicks are like, well, you need to create your own shot. What 7'3 guy in the history of the – what 7-foot guy in the history of the NBA was told you have to – most of the time you have to create your own shot?
Right.
I know Dirk does that. But generally – for the most part, 7-footers, usually you help them get them the ball so they can finish, not expect them to, create off the dribble all the time.
Create your own shot from 30 feet behind the basket.
I mean, how often they give him the ball out, when he's, 25 feet from the basket? And not even when he's going to shoot a three. They just give him the ball and go, here, take over. And he's like, how about you get me the ball when I can see the rim?
Right.
It's unbelievable. You should be focusing on trying to figure out ways to get these guys involved in the offense. Him and Hernan Gomez. I mean, Hernan Gomez, they do a decent job of actually getting the ball when he's moving. But, for Porzingis, someone else on the court should be setting a pick to make sure Porzingis gets open so he can score. He's such a weapon they're not using.
It's, they're not using him right. But also, he has looked bad. I can't tell if it's lingering injuries or just the system is not working. I don't know what's...
So there's a quote from him. Let me find this quote. Basically along the lines of, everyone on offense looks like they're out for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Porzingis said. Which is not a great thing to hear him say.
No, not at all.
It's kind of disconcerting, actually.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it does seem like that. There's not a lot of ball movement. It seems like there's a lot of guys who are either in contract years or trying to justify their contract.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, you start losing, everything kind of falls apart. And I understand everything falls apart because you look like crap, but it compounds itself, basically.
So do you Billy looked good in
Billy had a good decent game. He had 15 points, 14 rebounds. He's looked decent lately. He should get more minutes.
He should probably be starting. Noah is, what would you say, our third best center or fourth? I'm not convinced that Plumlee isn't better than Noah at this point.
It's hard. The thing is, his defense hasn't been that great.
No, it hasn't.
His offense, he's a complete liability in offense. And, he sets picks. You're the picks are even worthless because you can't be part of the pick and roll if they can't pass the ball to you. His finishing at the rim is horrible. He's probably the worst finisher on the rim of the entire team.
Yeah, and your big guy is supposed to be really good at that.
Yeah. His defense is mediocre at best. It's as if he's been washed up for the last 2 years, and the Knicks signed him anyway. It's unbelievable. So then the Knicks play the Cavs. They got their asses stomped by the Cavs. It wasn't even a real game. The Knicks made a run at the end of the game. Or we talk about the Net game first. Sorry, the Knicks play the Nets. The Knicks made a comeback at the end of the game when they were playing the European lineup plus Jennings.
The fact that they needed a comeback to beat the Nets says everything about this week.
I mean, the Nets are so hard. You know, I'm going to the game on Friday. My father-in-law got me my birthday coming up in a few weeks, and he got me tickets for my wife and I are going to the game on Friday. And I'm like, honey, I'm like, it's just gonna be like, I don't know what, like, if we should cheer when the Knicks are winning. I don't know if I should cheer against them because I kind of want to see them win because we're going to the game. But I'm like, you don't know how bad this team is.
So they're playing the Clippers Wednesday. Who are they playing Friday?
I think the Nuggets.
Oh,
the
so
Nuggets,
you get to see
are pretty bad on the road.
You get to see all our old friends.
Yes. Hey, while you guys are leaving, could you pack up Melo? The thing is also the Knicks will be really bad when Melo leaves.
Yeah. But that's the point.
Yeah. I'm worried. So they had a practice. They practiced today. And in practice, there were skirmishes. The team was really, really looked frustrated. And it looks like it wants to, like, turn things around. But it's not good. What is it? You posted on this on Twitter. We're two games from the eighth spot and, like, two and a half games from, like, a top four pick.
Yeah, we're two and a half games away from the eighth place spot, but we have to leapfrog four teams. And we're two and a half games away from the fourth worst record in the NBA. But again, we have to let four teams pass us.
The thing with the eighth spot also is the team will be at or very near 500 who gets to the eighth spot. It always works out that way. A team goes on a run. The Knicks are never going to come close to that. Any win they get going forward is just going to be worthless.
Well, also, Miami just won 11 in a row and counting.
How is Miami so good?
I don't know. They were really underachieving in the beginning of the season.
But who's on the roster? Have you seen this team? Who's on the roster?
I mean, they got Dragic, Whiteside. I know Winslow went down for the season, but what's his name? Deion Waiters has been going nuts because I dropped him from my fantasy team and he's decided to take it out on me the rest of the season.
Yeah, he's been playing really well, but that's kind of shocking.
Yeah.
Because Waiters is not that good. I mean, I guess he's pretty good.
He's been going absolutely berserk for like 6 weeks.
I mean, look at the starting lineup. They got Babbitt. Whiteside obviously is good. Dragic actually playing well. Waiters and Magruder. I don't even know who Magruder is.
Isn't that the SNL skit that blows up stuff?
Yeah. So they have a guy, one of their starters, that does like bad comedy about blowing stuff up. Yeah. They don't have a lot on this roster, yet they're in. Pat Riley is so much better than this than Phil Jackson. It's not even close.
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah, it's not really like arguing with that.
No.
So they and then they lost the Laker game. They just, of all things, they were down by 10 points after the first quarter against the goddamn LA Lakers.
The starting lineup is, but the thing is, they keep changing the starting lineup, and it's still, no matter what combination they use, it's terrible. I mean, people are getting on Hornacek for the lineups, and you know that he keeps tinkering with it. What's going on?
Did you just answer the phone?
No, it just automatically connected. Interesting.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, people are getting on him for changing the lineup, but who is playing well enough to permanently earn their spot?
Hey.
Oh, hey, what's up?
Michael, what's going on? Do you have a fan going, or are you in a cave?
Oh, shit. Let me turn that off. Let me hang this up. I'll turn.
Okay. Cool.
Yes.
We have a caller.
Yeah. We do.
From possibly a cave or a place where there are fans.
But I mean, really, like, who has been playing consistently well enough to say like, oh yeah, this guy should be starting all the time?
I no one has. This is what they should have done in the Laker game, is what I would have done. If you're the coach, you just say, after that point, you're down 10 points in the first goddamn quarter against the Lakers. You say, all the starters, you're done for the night. You guys can go to the locker room. We're playing without you. You're a goddamn embarrassment. And the rest, if you don't want to be an embarrassment, come back tomorrow. Come back for the next game and don't build.
Right. Like, if you don't want to be here, I don't want you here.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of want to see the Knicks lose. So I want a better draft pick. But at the same time, this is unbelievable. You got to play competitive against the Lakers.
You got to play competitive against teams.
Oh, so Derrick Rose, by the way, he scored the same number of points as how many years he wants for contract. So you got 5 points, so he wants a five-year deal. And that's how he indicated it, by putting up a big 5 points.
he is almost useless now. He can't defend anybody. He doesn't pass. He gets good layups, 1-on-3. Awesome.
Why did we go to Chicago to find him? Not trade for him. When he left the team for a day, shouldn't we have left him in Chicago?
Yes.
Yeah, everything about this team has been yeah, I don't even know what you say about it anymore. Like it's like you can go on every show, we can just make fun of the team and how much of a disaster it is. You just don't have faith. The problem is from the who's the biggest problem on this team or in this organization?
Phil?
Yeah, it's not even Dolan at this point. I mean, Dolan is a problem, but like it's really Phil.
Yeah, you know what? Everyone's getting fed up, and it is Phil's fault because he thought twice now. He thought we had a playoff team when we had one of the worst teams we can remember.
The thing is, we should be happy because you and I have both wanted a real rebuild, and the Knicks are clearly tanking. So, with the most improbable roster to tank with.
But we're not.
No,
tanking.
No, it's obviously bad. Yeah. Hey, Michael. Michael is a big-time New York Knicks fan. He is out in L.A., and the last couple of weeks he's wanted to share his views on the Knicks with us, and he's finally calling in to share his views on the Knicks with us. So let me tell you, Michael, big question. Does this team give dumpster fires a bad name?
Yes, it does. but the problem is that, like, it's always, like, in between, and they're, like, they can't even be good at tanking, you know? Like,
Right.
Like, all right,
They're like a dumpster fire, but the fire's not very big. And you're like, come on, bigger fire. And they're like, this is kind of a weak, like just some kindling.
Exactly, okay. Right?
Yeah.
So here's my like four-step plan, okay?
Four steps. Is the first step involve, speaking of the theme of fire, lighting Madison Square Garden and getting the insurance money?
No.
Okay, go.
First step is we trade Phil for a first-round pick from the Lakers. So that Jeannie Buss can get her fucking husband back or whatever. And then we get their first round pick, which this year apparently is really, really high. So, you know, yeah. So that's one.
No, the only thing is we will, first of all, we probably can't actually, you have to be insane to actually want to give anything for Phil Jackson at this point, even Jeannie. And if we did make the trade, and then the Lakers will their draft pick will go to the who's the draft pick go to this year, Jay?
Sixers. But it's top three protected. So if
yeah,
it'll, top three, then it'll go Sixers.
If we get it, it'll be the fourth pick. So
yeah, exactly. Oh, okay. Oops. And then two, you know, I realized that what we gotta do is we have to go to Europe, and we just have to recruit all Europeans. But anyone named Sasha is automatically disqualified.
I like that rule.
We just need because to build all European lineup.
Is the person named Sasha disqualified because of Trump's travel ban, or
no? Because we don't want to take any risk of affiliation with Sasha Vujicic at all.
I think we should just kidnap all the European players and just figure out have a Hunger Games to figure out who the best players are.
Pretty much. I mean, that's pretty much like the D League, right?
Yeah. That's fine with that. Okay, so right now we are trading. We are tricking the Lakers to give us a draft pick for Phil. And now we are going on a backpacking trip to Europe in which we are kidnapping people. What's the next
exactly.
plan?
We're just going all over Spain. Just yes. Fine. Because you know what's really great about Hernan Gomez? I think he could be like our Draymond Green, our second round pick steal.
Yeah, no other way do I compare him to Draymond Green, but like, yeah, he's definitely a second round steal. And you got to give Phil credit for very few things. But he did draft Porzingis, and he did trade two second-round draft picks to get Hernan Gomez, and that seems like a great, great move.
Yeah, like, so far, he's only been good with the Europeans. Like, when he deals with the non-Europeans, like, Noah, nobody competed with the Knicks to give him a contract. It's like, dude, everyone else is like, I'm not touching that with a stick. And then Jennings, he was like, I'll just do a play for $1 million. He's like, I'll just give you $5 million.
Well, maybe, just in fairness, maybe, like, no, like Phil was like, well, I can't sign you, Noah, and Noah's like, you know I'm French. He's like, here's your contract. And Jennings, I can't sign you. You know I played in Greece for 1 year. Here's your contract.
Oh, that is true, yeah. Oh, man. And so you know what the whole, like, Melo to Cavs trade? That would have made sense, like, last year when the Cavs were like, oh, we're not so sure about this Kevin Love guy. And then if you actually trade Kevin Love to the Knicks, if you actually played him, it doesn't make any sense at all. Because then there's no defense. Porzingis is best protecting the rim. He can't protect the perimeter. So if you have another guy, another white guy who shoots threes that can't protect the perimeter, you're just making the problem worse.
Well, hang on. No, but we figured that out earlier. Because your two big assets right now are Hernan Gomez and Porzingis, right?
Right.
Each guy, Hernan Gomez is about 7 foot, and Porzingis is 7'3".
Right.
Love, how tall is Love? 6'11"?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
So you stand them on top of each other, and we could just, like, it will be such a tall center combined. Because all three of them are basically centers of power forwards. So we'll make one gigantic one.
What, it's like Voltron?
Yeah,
you get like
exactly.
the big long overcoat, so it just looks like one tall guy.
Playing having the Voltron plan is as realistic as Phil's plan to win now.
Right.
What's step three? So what's our third step? This 4-step plan.
All right. So we need to go look at every basement and find wherever the fuck Sam Hankey is.
You gotta slow the cursing down.
Okay, sorry. We gotta find Sam Hinkie in whatever basement he's hiding in. And
I know Hinkie's gotten such crap, but Jay and I have been talking. We're kind of down for Hinkie.
Look at the Sixers right now. You know, like they've been suffering for all this time, and he's been validated. Like everyone's like Joel Embiid, and then Simmons hasn't even played yet.
Yeah, and supposedly the rumor is that the one guy Okafor, who's been a bust, was the one guy Hinkie did not want to draft, and the Magic made him draft it anyway. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been a bust. Okay, so step three, we find Hinkie, and we convince the NBA to let us hire him.
Right, exactly.
Okay. Step four, LeBron James kidnap his mom and make him play for the Knicks.
Or we can just, like, clone LeBron James, pretty much. We'll just, like...
Yes, yes. We will get a Dutch or French whore to hang out with LeBron, and if she can take some DNA home with her in her mouth, we can make a new LeBron.
Exactly.
We go. So what's step four?
I don't know. I think I like that one. That one sounds pretty good.
Okay. If you haven't thought through all four steps, then you be qualified to be the New York Knicks team president because he hasn't fought through crap.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, did you guys see that article with Kevin Ding? He just wrote that today.
Yeah, we were talking about that earlier, and then the tweet from Phil, right?
Yeah, exactly. He was like, almost hit the bell or whatever, and I just couldn't resist. I was like, ding, 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 ding.
So what's the number one problem? What's the Knicks' number one problem?
The problem is that, like, you know, one is that they're stuck in the like, you know, with the new CBA, as I'm sure you guys know, is that the Knicks have always relied on free agency. They're like, oh, free agents, right? Just like Pat Riley's like, oh, well, who cares about the draft? You know, just recruit. We have money. We just buy free agents, right? But they always buy people. Like, so just like in investing, you know, when you can't use past performance for future performance, right? You know, you can't just rely on the past. Just be like, oh, well, Brandon Jennings scored 50 points before. That means he could do it again, you know? And so it's all about valuation of assets and getting in early before they peak. And then that's how you basically just look at so people always complain about the Sixers and how, like, oh, you know, like their whole tanking process is off, you know, awful and doesn't work. But if you look at, like, how the Warriors have drafted, like, that's how they got their whole core, is by drafting. Like, they didn't sign those guys as free agents. And then with the new CBA, like, you're basically penalizing teams for trying to, get free agents. And it's going to be much harder to get free agents. And it's going to be much easier for teams to retain the free agents. So you need to keep drafting. So the Knicks have done a poor job of drafting, you know?
So
they
need
to focus on their...
Just to follow you, are you saying we need to give a max deal to Drew Holiday and a max deal to Derrick Rose this offseason? And maybe try if we can trade a draft pick. Maybe we could trade a number one pick to get Brook Lopez. That would be then we have enough all-stars to win it.
Yeah, you know, like, it definitely could work in the NBA 2K.
I mean, obviously, Golden State has built through the draft, and they were amazing. You have to be really good at drafting also. The thing with Philly and what people kill them for is that, like, Embiid looks really good, but they've used a lot of draft picks, and they haven't got as many players as you'd expect them to get from the draft. And they drafted a lot of guys to play the same position. And now you got to play – you got to trade Noel. Okafor has not worked out, even though it necessarily wasn't really Hinkie's pick.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been helpful along the way if they drafted, say, a guard.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they did have a guard, Michael Carter Williams, and they just traded him away, you know, because he wanted to tank more. I mean, I definitely think that there is a fine balance. I think that for the next 2 or 3 years, like, this will be, they just need to commit to a full rebuild, get rid of, like, you know, I definitely think that Carmelo needs to go, even just for his own sake. I think he's going to be being driven insane by, like, you know, what's going on.
I mean, would you say that Melo has done, whatever else you want to say about Melo, he has done such an amazing job of handling how terrible New York has been to him.
Yeah, but it's like that Kevin Ding article, like, half of it is his own fault. Because the thing about him that I don't get is that he all cares about, like, one of the things he cares about the most is his brand, right? Like, oh, how can I do things off the court? But the problem is, if you look at all the other superstars, like, you know, LeBron and Curry, they all had success first before they went onto their brand. You know, like, it kind of went hand in hand. He was chasing the branding stuff before he even got there. And so now that he's not focused on, like, he hasn't, his track record doesn't, like, reflect well on his brand. So that's why you never see a Carmelo commercial. Like, you know, the last thing I saw was, like, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, and the Nike commercial. Yeah, he's a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle. I got it, and yeah, it's working out. He's Leonardo. The whole branding thing. It would be helpful if the Knicks were better. And obviously, he's a frustrating player because he has so much more talent. His talent level, he could be a much better player. And that's what George Karl's frustration was, that Melo, if he allowed himself to be coached, he'd be a much better player.
He needs someone, like, more dominant and more alpha than him, someone like LeBron, so to take the ball away from him and just be like, okay, you know, like in the Olympics. He clearly saw that he was not at the top of the totem pole, and he was like, I'll just defer to you guys, because he respected them enough and saw that their talent was – like, at least a way above him, or, you know, equal or more, right? And then in the Knicks, he's like, I want to be the man. I mean, this is what happened with, you know, like, Jeremy Lin, right? Like, he got so pissed off that everyone started loving him. He's like, God damn it, he's stealing my attention, you know?
The problem with him is that he's a great, great player. Forgetting the fact that, like, his talent, when he's not, he's still a great scorer. He's a very good player, but he's hard to be your team leader. Because he's not a guy that you necessarily want everyone else to emulate, because he doesn't necessarily put all the effort in on defense. He doesn't give it 100% at all points, and that, you know, and doesn't always pass. He's not the guy like LeBron James, no matter what else you want to say about him, and obviously he's a great player, everyone on the team will also say he probably outworks everyone else on the team.
Yeah.
And that probably motivates everyone. Like, you're like, you have to, like, well, LeBron, like, gives 100% on the court the whole time, so you, like, I should give 100% also. It's in the 1 year that they played really well, and Melo's best years is when someone else on the team could really assert, like, in the 1 year they won 54 games, you had Jason Kidd, who was more of the leader of that team. And when he played really well in Denver, he had Chauncey Billups next to him, and that made a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
He had someone else where everyone else can look up to, and Melo could kind of look up to also and kind of follow along with.
Right, exactly.
But it's unfair because not everyone is a team leader and a guy that, like, is going to run the show, but Melo's kind of thrust in that position by his contract and where he kind of is at this point in his career, that you kind of, like, you should get to that level, and he's not at that level.
I mean, the thing is, like, what I don't understand about, like, you know, when in 2014, when Phil re-signed Carmelo, it's like, I was pretty sure that he wanted to stay in New York because of the whole branding thing. Like, I want to stay in New York City. I want to be a brand, yeah. Blah, 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 blah. I was like, you could have just called his bluff. Like, he wasn't going to go to Chicago. Like, there's no way.
Yeah, I mean, they clearly should have called his bluff, but they did not. But I thought Lala wanted to stay in New York, and they kind of just went, like, his kid's in New York. I thought that was the kind of the reason he stayed here.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I have a question for you guys.
Sure.
So what's with the obsession with Ron Baker or Ron Burgundy?
I mean, well, here's the thing. When the team is really bad, you just latch onto a guy who's, like, middle of the road good, and just, like, say if they just played him more, then we'd win the title.
Right. Oh, the thing is, he reminded me of, like, I was like, is he, like, white Jeremy Lin?
Well, Jeremy Lin was pretty good. Like,
yeah.
It's the same phenomenon. It's a guy that's we're making out to be better than he is just because we're desperate for some spark and hoping he's somewhere on the team.
Yeah,
I see your hope.
We're desperate for Yogi Ferrell, who's playing on Dallas right now.
Right, who we could have had.
Yeah, who were just sitting out there. I mean, the thing is also as frustrating about the Knicks is that what is Phil Jackson doing on a daily basis to make this team better? He's trying to make the trades, but you also, you could easily just cut Sasha. He's the most obvious guy to cut and give out 10-day contracts and see if who else out there can make our team better.
Exactly. Yeah. No, I was like, why? Like you guys said, like everyone has been saying, like, why don't you just make him an assistant coach? Like, I feel like all Sasha Vujicic does is just play FIFA with Porzingis. It's like, yeah.
Yeah. The thing is, if you, a good locker room guy, good teams can have a good locker room guy as a bench player. Not the Knicks. You're a bad team. You can't afford that roster spot.
Right. You know what the problem is? The problem is like Dolan bringing in Phil Jackson. Like Phil Jackson has always been in a situation with the Bulls and with the Lakers where they're on the verge of contending, where all the pieces were already set up and all he had to do was just put it all together. He was like, okay, done, you know? But so, now he's like, he's trying to contend when they're at this, we're at the point where you need to build. He's not a builder.
The thing is, he'd be great if you made him the GM of Golden State right this second.
Exactly.
And he'd be like, oh, wow. I mean, look how good of a team I put together. I look how I did. Well, they were, I mean, Michael Jordan was already on the team. Oh, well, I mean, like, they weren't going to be good. Michael Jordan was going to be nothing without me.
Yeah.
But the thing is, either way, he's a great coach. He's just not. And I have to say, like, I give Dolan, much as you want to kill Dolan with all this, Dolan did what you wanted him to do. Dolan took a guy he thought knew everything about basketball and just said, you're in charge. I'm going to stay away. And there's no reason to think Dolan's really interfered with anything over the last 3 years.
Mm-hmm. Except maybe the no trade clause. I don't know. I think maybe that was maybe some pressure from him. Because, you know, maybe he's like, oh, I need to start. I need to sell tickets. I don't know.
I mean, it's fair. It's fair. We kind of figured that when he signed Phil, he said to Phil, just keep mellow. Mm-hmm. But Phil also should say, like, hey, it's my team. I'm going to, like, you want to give me the job and give me $12 million a year, you'll let me do what the hell I want.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
The thing is, Dolan owns the New York Rangers. And he said, the Rangers, you guys, I put smart people in charge, and the Rangers are pretty good. Mm-hmm. So you can't just say he's just a terrible sports owner because, like, he has another team that's actually really good.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly.
I mean, he's a terrible sports owner, but, like, regardless of that.
He's also a blues guitarist or something like that.
Yeah, he's a rock star also. Yeah. I mean, he is everything.
Next, Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Yes, he's a 5'5", 5'2", goddamn rock and roll star that's destroying our Knick fandom lives. we have some questions to do.
Okay.
You want to do a couple questions with us?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Jay, you have some emails?
Yeah, Logan wanted to know what we thought of the Knicks fans booing Hernan Gomez during the Cavs game after he turned over the ball.
I think that's kind of ridiculous.
I think it is ridiculous. I think what happened is Knicks fans are just fed up, and the turnover was at the wrong time, and, you know, the fans saw the game slipping away, but really you shouldn't be booing a guy like that, especially when he's getting double-doubles.
So the Knicks just still sell out. No matter what they do, they sell out. If the fans stop going to the games, what would happen? You think the Knicks would just go into even more crazy win now, try to get a like overpay guy mode, or would they finally start rebuilding because the guys people stop going to the games?
I mean, actually, I think they should be cheering instead of booing because that means that we're going to get a higher draft pick.
It's true.
Yeah, no, But I was saying before, I'm going to the game on Friday, and like I want them to lose, but the game you're at, you kind of want them to win.
Well, also, Knicks tickets are so expensive. I don't think a lot of hardcore fans are even at the games anymore.
Yeah, no, there's
ridiculous. Are you dissing Spike Lee?
Yeah. That should be our mascot, Spike Lee. They should actually make an actual Spike Lee mascot. Wouldn't that be funny as hell?
I want them to lose a lot. They should play Spike Lee.
I wish they could just reverse. I would love to see them put the bench guys as the starters and then put the starters on the bench and then see how they – first of all, they'll probably lose. But two, they can get more experience. I want to see how Hernan Gomez does in like 30 minutes.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Absolutely. They should really be doing that. The young guys should be playing and like, Noah, you get on the court when we have time for you. Like there's no good reason. Rose, like you can get on the court when we have – like there's nothing you're doing that helps us anymore, Rose. And you're clearly gone next year. Like, we're just trying to trade you and hope some other team wants you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. I mean, Derrick Rose, like the whole, you know, MIA thing and his wanting to get a max extension for like $150 million. I was like, that's ridiculous. Like, that's the only people that could, you know, possibly do that is maybe like Sacramento, because they're like also stupid.
Would you allow another team to dump their salary on us if we can get a first round pick? Would you trade you take a 3-year contract back for Derrick Rose? That's a terrible contract if it includes a first round pick.
Yeah, because Noah's contract is 3 years. So
yeah.
So our timeline is not KP anymore. Our timeline is, when does Noah's contract expire? So the problem with the Knicks is that there's always a contract we're looking forward to that expires. So before it was Amari, right?
We're like, yeah.
When Amari first came, we're like, so we couldn't get LeBron James, but here's our consolation prize. And then Phoenix is like, yeah, we're not going to sign that guy again because his knees are like glass. And then, like, he played, like, one season that was really good. And then after, he's like, oh, I got to bathe in wine. And then we're like, okay, when is this guy going to go away? And then as soon as he goes away, then we're like, we have all this cap space, but nobody wants to come. And, you know, I argued this with my friend. Like, he actually used to play over, like, basketball in college at, like, Vegas, like, UNLV. And then he played, actually, overseas. And then he's actually played with pros before. Like, he played with Kobe Bryant before. He played with, like, Kevin Garnett before. He had told me some pretty cool stories. And then, you know, he was saying, like, oh, well, you know, you got the market. You know, the players will always like the markets and stuff. But I'm like, it's totally different because of the way that the world has changed in terms of media and technology. Yeah. You know, like 20 years ago, 30 years ago, you know, media, like the media, big media markets like L.A. and New York, you know, all these stars had to go to these markets because that's where the media capitals were. You know, we didn't have social media. We didn't have the internet. And now, you know, what matters the most to players is, I mean, obviously money matters, but also like success, because success leads to success off the court, right? Like what I was saying, you know, you could be Russell Westbrook in, you know, Oklahoma City, and normally that's not a place that people care about, but because the team has did well for the past, you know, 4 or 5 years, then they'll still do sponsorships with you. They'll still do commercials. If he was in Sacramento, then nobody would care, you know? Or if he was in, you know, some really horrible place, then nobody would care. So
just to cut out for a second, interrupt for 1 second. So all our fans are listening to the show that live in Oklahoma and Sacramento. We, as the podcast, agree no one cares about you. Go on.
See, that's how I know I'm with real New Yorkers, because we like to just like make other people just feel bad about their places.
Yeah. We have a team that makes us feel bad about ourselves, so we have to rip on other people.
We're sadistic.
Yeah. One thing that Phil has gotten a lot of credit for since he's been here, one of the things besides drafting Porzingis and Hernan Gomez, is the fact that he's not traded away first round pick.
Oh yeah.
Do you think he should be getting credit for that? Or is it kind of like that Chris Rock thing where, like, you're like, I take care of my kids. And he's like, you take care of your kids. You're supposed to take care of your damn kids. What, you
exactly.
Want a cookie?
Exactly.
Yeah. That's what the trade draft first round picks, you idiot.
Yeah. See, that's like saying, like, that's like a woman who has, like, 5 kids. It's just like, hey, I didn't get pregnant this time. I was like, yeah, you had 5 times to figure that out.
Yeah.
You know, so the thing is, first round picks are going to be even more valuable following the new CBA because of what I talked about. You know, the fact that they can re-sign these guys for max extensions, that it's going to make it harder if you find these stars to pry them away from other teams. Like, look at, you know, Sacramento and, you know, Boogie. You know, he's getting, what, $200 million, some crazy like that. And I think it's like a difference of $30 million or something like that. I don't know, but it's a lot.
You can overpay your own stars a lot. You can go over the cap for your stars. You can do a lot, basically, for your players. So you want to get undervalued assets, which are usually draft picks or guys before they emerge. So right. Getting a James Harden when he was very good, but not an all-star level player.
Exactly, yeah.
Or so, getting a CJ McCollum, or there are a bunch of guys you can get, basically, who are – am I saying McCollum? Who's the guy who's the CJ on Phoenix?
PJ Tucker?
No, on not Phoenix. On Portland, sorry.
CJ McCollum. Yeah, CJ McCollum.
Yeah, it's McCollum, yeah. You got to get guys before they, like, really emerge. Like, getting Isaiah Thomas even before he – like, Boston, that was a great move. Boston traded a first-round pick to get Isaiah Thomas, but they – now he's second in the NBA in scoring, and they look really smart for making that move.
Yeah. And what do you think of a Melo to the Celtics? I just wish Danny Ainge would give up that Nets pick for Melo. I would trade that in a heartbeat.
The thing is, if you're Boston – would you make the trade? Would you, like, not do you want Melo on the team? But would you give up that Nets pick, which could be a top three pick in the draft? Is that worth getting Melo?
Probably not, but that's why I'm just hoping against hope. But the thing is, I think Boston has the same problem Philly does. I think they actually have too many young assets.
Yes, they have to move on from some of their young assets and try to get even better, basically.
Because the thing is, like, when you have too many, like, Philly has that problem. Like, they don't have enough playing. There's only one ball, and there's only so many minutes you can play. And then when you have all these, like, young guys who are just going to be, it's going to be a log jam, and then you're not going to develop them anyway.
If you had Isaiah Thomas, Melo, and Horford out there, you would look pretty darn good.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Especially, like, you know, if LeBron went down with an injury, like LeBron said, you know, his team is pretty top-heavy, and, like, they rely on him. Like, he had, like, 17 assists or something, you know, like the other night. Did you see that game?
If you put if you swap Melo for LeBron, would the Knicks go to the finals?
Wow, that's possible. Yeah, I think they could.
That's how insanely good LeBron is. Jay, next question, next email.
Brendan writes, I am watching the Knicks-Wolves game from Minnesota. It looks like Marshall Plumlee is more of a fit for the energy role guy than Noah. I think the argument is that we're supposed to be, is that's what we're supposed to be getting from Noah. He says we're paying $72 million for an energy role guy when we may have the beginnings of one for $500,000. I know it's an incredibly small sample size, but Plumlee looks promising, and I think he deserves more minutes. Thoughts?
Have you seen? I've not seen Plumlee pound his chest. And pounding your chest is worth a lot in the NBA.
Noah could possibly be the fourth best center on the team.
I mean, it's arguable that the Knicks they would be in a much better position if they just didn't go in the year signing a center. Because between Hernan Gomez, Kyle O'Quinn, and Plumlee, you would have been fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, and what is Phil Jackson's obsession with centers? I don't understand. Yeah, I didn't understand at the beginning. I was like, where are all the guards? We have like two.
Yeah, we were saying it all off season. We're like, hey, there's not many guards, and Sasha has too big of a role in this team.
And, yeah, I was really rooting for Chase and Randall to, like, make the roster. I was like, come on, man. That guy can actually shoot.
Yeah, but I don't know what the hell Phil is doing. He has no plan, and that's why he should go. He does not have a coherent plan.
Yeah, please. I think my plan is, like, perfect. Just trading for a first-round draft pick from the Lakers. Don't take
it. Yeah, yeah. I mean, Genie, you want him back. You look sexy at 70.
Actually, you guys want to hear a funny story? The apartment, the building I'm in right now, this apartment, is actually owned by, Donald Sterling.
Oh!
So it was actually, I think...
I didn't know he let minorities live in his building.
Did you have to say you were white to get in?
I snuck in the back. But I'll tell you, so I'm in Santa Monica right now, and yeah. So... Actually, this building used to be owned by who's the owner of Lakers? The one that died, Jerry.
Jerry Buss.
No, Jeannie Buss's dad. Yeah,
Jerry Buss. Yeah.
Yeah, he used to own this building. I think he sold it to him, and he told my neighbor who's lived here for like 30 years. He told me that his like relatives lived in this apartment. Like his like nephew lived in the same room that I did.
Oh,
is that crazy?
Interesting.
That's crazy. Do you have a pretty nice place?
That's okay.
That is kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Jay.
Yeah. That was those Facebook questions. We have emails, nyknickspodcast@gmail.com. Nick writes about the Melo trade. I wanted to say this since December, but with recent reports of what Melo's value is, Austin Rivers, Jamal Crawford, and Wes Johnson, it's amazing to think that Phil is still a GM. I remember when I was on the show last year, I said Phil didn't excite me as a GM because he was rookie GM. If we trade Melo, let's not let Phil do it. I say let Phil go and also Rambis, let someone else make the trade. Love the show. Keep it up. We need a Rose interview.
Yeah. It's that you don't trust Phil to even make the right trade. Do you think maybe Phil will somehow make a package with like a four-team deal where the Knicks will trade Melo and get back Tyson Chandler, J.R. Smith, and Iman Shumpert?
See, when he made that trade with Iman Shumpert and J.R. Smith, I was thinking like, wait, we couldn't get a first-round pick? And I saw Mozgov when he got traded to the Cavaliers. They got a first-round pick for him. I was like,
yeah. And Tyson Chandler, you couldn't get jack shit for him.
Yeah. I was like, J.R. Smith did way more than Timothy Mozgov did, and we couldn't even get a first-round pick.
And then you found out later that that even Phil admitted was a mistake, was that they could have gotten Jay Crowder in the Tyson Chandler trade. Exactly. And he said, Jay Crowder, and his reasoning was, Jay Crowder plays the same position as Melo, and that won't work out. The Knicks, the only time in the Knicks' last 10 years where they've said, these guys play the same position, we shouldn't get them. Right. Instead of always going for guys to play the same position, and that screwed us. Right. We could have had Jay Crowder. That would have been, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, oh my God. So, yeah, I was like, oh, we need to get some. We need a trick. We need to find someone. We need to hire people from Wall Street. That's what we need to do. We need to hire people from Wall Street that can trick other teams into taking bad stuff that looks good and then get good stuff.
I thought Hinkie was a Wall Street, like, private equity guy.
Was he? Oh, I thought he was, like, some kind of statistician or something, or from, like, Stanford or whatever. But I know he's, like, into, like, super analytic stuff.
I'm going to look that up, Jay. Why don't you read the next question? I'm going to look up Hinkie. I thought he was some kind of rich guy. Yeah.
I thought he was a nerd.
We'll find out.
Let's see. Phil writes, assume Melo doesn't go anywhere. It looks like Rose is gone. Jennings may not be back. Probably depends on whether or not he wants the same or less money to be a backup. And it doesn't matter. Any other serviceable backup point guards out there? Baker, we are 21. This is 6 days ago. We are 21-29 today. Maybe we go 10-22 the rest of the way out. Assume our draft pick is a 6-10 range. It probably gets us one of the three point guards below, all of which are really, really good. Dennis Smith Jr., Malik Monk, De'Aaron Fox. So then what is our starting five and who come off the bench? I propose the new point guard, Lee Holiday, Hernan Gomez, Porzingis.
The just interrupt. So he wasn't a banker, but he worked at Bain & Company, the firm that that Mitt Romney founded or was
Yeah.
So but then he got his MBA from Stanford and then he went to work for the Houston Rockets.
Right. Yeah, Stanford. That's what I remembered. Yeah.
Yeah. Jay, I didn't listen to your question. Could you go to the next question?
I'm still reading it. Said, yes, I think, granted how bad Melo is in all facets of the game now, except shooting at a high percentage when taking ill-advised shots. Recall, there is defense, hustle, rebounding, setting picks, leadership, etc. He should come off the bench at this point to provide scoring boost. Worst case, he hates it, waives no trade, and we get a first-round 2018 pick for him to the Wolves, Lakers, Sixers, who will suck but be more desperate. Mm-hmm. Cock, Jennings, Baker, and Kuz also off the bench. Who cares about the rest? I like that lineup. It's not a winner by any stretch, but it is young, except Lee, not selfish hustles. Although the big man D needs improvement, but it also wouldn't seem so bad since perimeter D might actually exist. Also, there are four potential outside shooters in that lineup and two really good pick and roll options. It smells like a team, not Melo plus four. No matter what, if you can't trade Melo, it's time to recognize what he is, a one-trick pony, to stop effing putting him on the floor for 40 minutes.
That's not a fan of Melo. I would say also you might be in a better position to trade Melo this offseason.
Yeah. So actually, do you guys play NBA 2K?
I don't. Jay does.
Do you do? Okay. So, all right. When I play, I'm actually pretty good at the game. I like pretty much beat destroy everybody. And like, I actually went to this barbershop and I played against all these guys.
Try to brag. Try to talk well of your ability. Don't hold back.
Okay. So basically, when I play the Knicks, I always play the Knicks. I actually put Melo on the bench. And so what I realized was that I put Lance Thomas at small forward. What I realized was that when I play, there's too many options on offense and there's not enough ball to go around. And so what I do is like I just run pick and rolls with Porzingis and Rose and let them score and then put Melo on the bench and have him score and it balances out. When I have them all three at the same time, there's just not enough shots for them to go around. So I do like the whole benching idea thing. I do that all the time. And then I play the GM mode. The first thing I did when I started as the Knicks, I traded Melo to the Wolves for like Zach LaVine.
Interesting.
The last one I played I think right after the Melo trade, and I did GM and I just undid the trade. And then I traded a couple of those assets to get Kevin Love, and I think I ended up with a dynasty and I won like five of the next seven championships.
Oh, nice.
The Melo to the bench thing is an interesting idea because he would do well against second units, but there's no way in hell he's ever going to accept the benching.
No, he definitely wouldn't.
But Noah should be a bench. Noah and Rose should be on the bench. I don't see why not.
Noah shouldn't even play at this point.
I mean, if anything, like he might be good of the second unit where he's like he's a very good passer, and maybe he'd help run the second unit better. The second unit needs a lot of help. I mean, everything needs help.
I mean, if he can only play 15 minutes a game anyway, what's the point of having him start?
I don't know. He wanted the Bulls wanted to have him as a bench player last year, and he got really mad about it and didn't want to play, be a bench player, which was great to see happen right before you signed the guy as your, like, your staple, as your rock.
Right.
Right.
Jay?
All right. We got to go lightning round soon, so let's do one more of these emails. Taylor writes, what do you think of a Rose for Rubio trade? Rubio can move the ball, something Knicks consistently failed to do. And he comes at a relatively reasonable price, $14 million per, for the current salary climate. Minnesota is trying to move him, and taking on Rose's expiring contract will allow them to put some pieces around Cat and Wiggins this offseason. Yeah, shooting's bad, but a lineup with him, Melo, KP, and Lee doesn't necessarily need another great shooter. Also, I keep hearing people hating on Tim Hardaway Jr. for Jerry and Grant a few years ago because Hardaway looks like a solid player now, but I think most people forget that trade landed us the rights to Willie. Just saying.
That trade didn't land us the rights to Willie.
No, that was two picks in the future for Willie, right?
What, yeah, they traded 2 second-round draft picks. That had nothing to do with the...
Yeah, no, Jerry. That was Jerry and Grant for Tim Hardaway. And that's it. And then Jerry and Grant for Derrick Rose and what do you call it? Noah.
Yeah, yeah. They traded Grant just for the first round pick, and they turned the first round pick into Grant. The Hardaway trade was a bad trade.
Yeah.
I mean, in retrospect, and just in general, you should try to develop your players.
Yeah.
Like,
no,
it'd be nice to have him developing alongside Porzingis. Right.
Yeah, the thing is, no, I would not trade for Rubio because, one, he probably sucks at defense. Two, I want to see what pick we get at the end of this year. And if we can draft a point guard from there, then why would we need Rubio? So I think you definitely need to see where you land in the lottery first and get that. Hopefully we can get a point guard, a young point guard that's a stud. And then you can have a better sense of where you want to build your team.
Jay, what do you think of the Rubio idea?
I'm torn. I mean, because defense actually is pretty decent, but I heard he's such a liability in offense that other teams sag off of him so much, it makes it more difficult. Kind of like what happens with Rondo. If Rondo isn't really, like, penetrating and passing, teams sag off, and it makes it even harder to score. So
it's the same thing as Derrick Rose.
You would also feel like... the team would be a little bad. I mean, they've been so bad for so long in Minnesota. You feel like if Rubio was a little better, they wouldn't be so bad.
Yeah.
I'm actually surprised at how bad Minnesota is. I was like, they have so much talent on that team. I thought they would put it together.
Although Rubio hit like 5 threes the other day, so I don't know. Maybe he's starting to figure out how to shoot.
Yeah, that's true.
I have to play a voicemail. I don't know if that's going to work.
Okay, I think Michael, we might have to cut you loose.
Yeah,
that's cool. Sounds good. All right, it was good talking to you guys.
Yeah, thank you for calling in.
Yeah,
you guys are fun, and I definitely want to see all European lineups next year.
I am down. I also feel like the Knicks should go explore other countries also. That maybe Antarctica has some good basketball players. They really need to keep exploring.
Okay, I'll talk to you guys later, man.
All right,
okay.
Thanks again for calling in. All right, that was a good call.
Yeah. We can play a voicemail?
Yes, we have a voicemail.
That's all the emails, and I'll go lightning on the Facebook questions.
Okay. There's a lot more emails, but okay, here we go.
Okay.
Hey, Mark and Jay. Leaving this message for the New York Knicks podcast. This is Frank, or Frank Edward, as I leave messages on Facebook for you guys. A few weeks ago, or maybe last week, you asked what was your favorite Carmelo Anthony moment. And I didn't get a chance to respond, but I wanted to say that, you know, my favorite moment was when I was at the Garden. I think it was maybe his third or fourth game in a Knicks uniform. They were playing the Cleveland Cavaliers. And my favorite moment was when the lights came down and they did all the pomp and circumstance and they put up the Bernard King quotes about Carmelo Anthony and coming home and all that. But conversely, maybe the moment that made me question Carmelo Anthony in a New York Knicks uniform came 2 hours later when the Knicks lost to the last place Cleveland Cavaliers. I believe they were the worst team in the NBA at the time. Behind Baron Davis in his first game as a Cavalier. And that made me question what the Knicks were doing, trading Gallinari, Felton, Mozgov, Wilson Chandler for Carmelo Anthony when he couldn't even will the team to beat the worst team in the NBA. So I guess my question for you guys is, when did you first doubt that Carmelo Anthony was going to be the savior for the New York Knicks, that he wasn't going to bring a championship to New York? Okay, thanks a lot, and look forward to hearing your response. All right, take care. Bye.
Thank you, Frank. I think we had our doubts almost right away, not so much because of Melo, but because we already had Amari, and we were wondering how that was going to work when they both play their best games at the four.
Right. We both right away were like, they kind of play the same position. Though, obviously, Amari's not the outside shooter that Melo is. But we wondered. But I thought they would do a pick. They could do a pick and roll together. I just thought it would be so deadly to have the two of them together that it would work out anyway.
Yeah.
I have to say, like, maybe about 30 or so games in, 20 or 30 games in, where I was like, the team didn't look much better than they'd had prior to getting Melo. And I started wondering, is this going to work?
Right. We're like, things should be cooking right now, and they're not.
And then they basically got their butts handed to them against the Celtics that year in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I think that was like, hey, we're not really that close.
Yeah, and who would have thought that was pretty much the best we would be since then?
I'd say one of the best moments, though, was I remember I was at your place, Jay, and I think we did a show, and the show ended, and it was like the Knicks game hadn't been on that long, and we caught that the 63 points? What's Melo's big game?
Oh, yeah.
I was at your place. We got to see that. We were like, and we watched that whole game. That was a really cool game.
It was a nice moment, yes.
Yeah. Glad I got to share it with you, Jay. but that was a good question also. What's your fondest Melo memory?
I think that was probably it. I mean, that's a tough one to beat.
Yeah, I mean, overall, the 54-game win season, I'd say, is a better memory. But like, just like,
yeah, but that's not like a single memory. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, the other day I was, I think it was the Laker game. Halfway through the game, they're down by like 27, and I just trashed my apartment. I just couldn't take it anymore. It's the Lakers. I was expecting a win, and I said, you know what? I've had it, and I'm just going to throw some stuff around. And
really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And what I did is I used the Handy app. Have you heard about the Handy app?
Is that what you're supposed to do when your girlfriend or significant other is not around?
No. This is Handy.com and the Handy app. What it is it's a cleaning service. You get to pick. It's kind of like... it's similar to Uber, where you can go and you could pick. They have ratings for the different people.
Is Jay doing a live read? Go on.
You pick who you want, and you could set up for the very next day. It takes about 60 seconds. You don't even have to be home. You could leave your keys, or you can be home and have the person clean.
Were you? Here's a question.
Yeah.
When you picked your handy.com app. Person to clean, was it an Asian, a very attractive Asian lady? And when she showed up, were you sitting on the couch wearing Speedos?
They're going to love this live read.
Okay, go on.
So they're helping support the Almighty Baller Podcast Network. So they're giving promo codes out. So if you sign up and use the code Almighty50, you get 50% off cleaning service. And they also do other services like plumbing, electrical work, and you get 15% off using Almighty 15.
Almighty 15, Do you want to spell that?
A-L-M-I-G-H-T-Y 15 and Almighty 50 for the cleaning service.
Yeah, which is a pretty good deal because you know what I think everyone that's listening to the show is probably living in an apartment or house that needs cleaning. So you might as well save some money and find someone who can clean your place or do whatever it is you need repaired.
So the next time the Knicks throw you into a fit of rage and you have to trash your apartment, you can get it cleaned the very next day before the wife comes home and gets angry.
Yes, exactly. And the Knicks will make you angry the next time you watch them.
All right. So Marcus writes, "Hey guys, just read an article by Posting and Toasting, which said that the Knicks do a good job defending pick and rolls. The ball handler shoots the fourth lowest field goal percentage in the NBA. The screener shoots the third worst effective field goal percentage in those possessions in the league. But they're collapsing too hard, and every time someone else is open on the perimeter. So maybe if Melo could stay on his man, we could be a really good defensive team, which is crazy with two point guards who aren't able to guard anybody."
I'm not even shocked by that because it's the Knicks. Everyone collapses on every play. Like, three guys in the court are always not covering anyone. So it's like it's easy to collapse. And like you could see why they would hold people to a lower percentage because they cover no one on the outside.
Well, I mean, even if somebody looks like they're about to set a pick, Melo switches.
I mean, the switching is sometimes is just like bizarrely, like how easy the team switches is unbelievable. It's whatever matchup the other team wants, we will give them.
Yeah.
And just like, hey, I know I was covering someone, but that's so yesterday. I'm going to go look where the ball is and follow the ball because they're not allowed to pass the ball. It's brutal.
Yeah.
Who are you typing to?
Andrew. He said, Steven's going to lose his mind at the live read. So that is it for email, nyknickspodcast@gmail.com. If you want to call us, it's 631-676-1181, or you can Skype us. The Skype name is The Brink of Sanity, which is also the name of our other podcast. We have a comedy podcast called The Brink of Sanity, and it's also Mark and I and a third person, usually Bri. And you could find that in iTunes. Just type in Brink Sanity in iTunes.
If you leave us a voicemail in which you tell us about your experience using handy.com, we will be so happy. Jason writes, going to Facebook, should Hornacek play that comeback squad more and keep Melo on the bench during tough games?
No, I wouldn't say keep Melo on the bench during tough games, but I do say if he's 2 for 14, then yeah, you keep him on the bench.
Or just go with any lineup that's working, go with.
Exactly.
Longer.
Whoever's playing well, go with it.
Jay writes, do you keep Melo till he turns 40 and Lala becomes a Knicks cheerleader?
I feel like the Knicks are going to do that.
Probably. Liam writes, if you only had to pick one player on their horrid contracts, who would it be, Bargs or Noah? What is the worst contract?
Noah's much worse.
Yeah, not even close. I mean, well, I guess what is worse? Giving a 4-year deal to Noah for $72 million or trading a first round pick for Barks?
Probably a first round pick just because Barks was about to get bought out, but I mean, they're both so bad. I don't.
That first round pick was going to be a swap pick anyway because they had a swap because of Denver, right?
Yeah.
So, like, I think Denver had the right to swap the pick either way. George writes, if we end up trading Rose, should we invest in Jennings, though he has proven to be more pass first? Would you bring Jennings back, and what kind of deal would you give him?
I'm starting to warm up to Jennings. I would bring him back, but it would be cheap.
Well,
under 10.
Give us some numbers.
8.
For how many years?
3.
So 3 years, $24 million?
Yeah.
Not horrible. I mean, he could be your point guard that helps grow the other point guard. Like, he's your starter, whoever you draft is your backup, and then kind of like they can learn under Jennings. I mean, Jennings is garbage also, but he seems like he's a better fit than Rose is.
I mean, he actually tries, unlike Rose. Rose seems like he doesn't even try anymore.
Yeah. I just hate also Jennings has a lot of dumb fouls. Also, he'll pressure a guy, and then the guy just goes right around him. And you're like, oh, great. Well, why don't you just keep the guy in front of you? So he's, instead of like just like whatever. Grant writes, we play the Cavs Saturday. Will Korver kill us? Korver did not kill us.
I'm shocked.
But Cleveland killed us.
By the way, our website, thenewyorkknickspodcast.com, I will be putting up our Nick Effect list, which is players who've had the best or second best game of the season against the Knicks.
It's a lot.
And I just put up the player power rankings, and we are still getting game recaps from Eric. So
this week, if you haven't looked already, just not to ruin the surprise, but Hernan Gomez was the best player on the Knicks this past week, according to Jay. Let me ask you something, Jay. How goddamn awful is this team? should we take this as a positive? Because Hernan Gomez is a young player, and the fact that he made number one on the list, that's a positive.
It is a positive, except that we have Rose, Melo, Porzingis. I mean, we have an MVP, a scoring champion, and a defensive player of the year on the team, and our second-round draft pick was the best player.
Yes. Steven writes, human sacrifice could get Dolan to sell the team. Thoughts?
Sure, try it out. Let us know. Okay. Let us know if it works, Steven.
Brennan writes, what teams do you think that Melo should consider going to where he could be a good fit besides the ones that we already know he's been rumored to interest in, Cavs, Clippers? I'm going to add Celtics to this also. I don't think he would do it because of Lala, his brand and his ego, but I think that Indiana would do well with Melo. Teague, George, Miles Turner, and Melo would be a solid lineup for sure.
It would. That would be a good fit. I think
Raptors
would be a good fit, and Thunder would be a good fit.
Thunder would be a really interesting fit.
Melo and Westbrook, I think, would be a fun lineup.
Do you think if Melo and Westbrook played, do you think anyone on the rest of the team would get the shoot? Well, actually, no, never mind. Westbrook passes. So,
yeah, Westbrook's averaging over 10 assists a game.
Yeah. But I guess all his passes would have to go to Melo now. But that would be a good – that would be – he should really – there's just no way he'd ever go to Oklahoma.
No.
But he should. Andrew writes, how long till Jay comes out of the closet that he's actually a Celtics fan?
I'm not a Celtics fan. Just because I like Larry Bird doesn't mean I'm a Celtics fan.
Okay, so there you have it. Jay is already a Celtics fan. Andrew writes, you have a shrine to the Celtics? Do you have a Celtics tattoo?
I like certain players. Doesn't mean I'm a fan of the team.
Could we have your girlfriend on the show and just ask her one question? Does Jay have a Celtics tattoo? Because maybe you have it at a place where only she can see it.
I mean, I'm a Pippen fan. It doesn't mean I'm a Bulls fan.
I know, but you're a Celtics fan. Andrew writes, apparently the New Orleans wants – well, you're also a Phoenix Suns from the Steve Nash Phoenix Suns fan also.
Yes. Well, I always have a West Coast side piece team.
Yeah, you know Boston's on the West Coast. Andrew writes, apparently the New Orleans wants Okafor, but Philadelphia wants their first-round pick for him. I'm not suggesting at all that we get him, but what do you think of that trade on both sides? So it would be Drew Holiday for Okafor, and Drew Holiday is basically just expiring. But they'd also take they want a first-round pick to take him. They want a first-round pick basically to trade Okafor. So basically, it's Okafor for a first-round pick. Does that make sense on either side?
Don't the Pelicans have a really good big man on the team?
Unibrow, yes. So they want to match Okafor next to Unibrow.
Don't they already have Monta Ellis and Terrence Jones and Ashik?
Ashik is awful.
He is, but I mean, I'm just saying they have a lot of big men and they're thin at the guard. So trading a guard doesn't
seem
to make
sense. Well, I assume they're assuming that Drew Holiday's not coming back if they're making that trade.
Yeah, but it still doesn't make sense. That's like a Knicks trade.
Yeah, well, maybe New Orleans is insulted that they weren't on our clown/backwards team list earlier.
Yeah, I could have sworn you were going to get to them.
Yeah, no, we didn't. But if I'm them, I'm going to resign Drew Holiday. They look pretty easy with Drew Holiday there. Plus, you have to say they have your favorite player, Tim Frazier. So they're willing to invest in like young players.
Yeah.
Andrew writes, do you guys have any interest in bringing back Tim Hardaway Jr.? What would we have to trade to bring him back if we do want him?
I mean, that would also be a Knicks thing to do, to let a guy go for nothing and then to trade assets to get him back.
Oh my God. I can't bear to have Hardaway back on the team just for the fact we traded him for nothing. Well, we traded him not for nothing. They got a first round pick for him. But the fact that they traded him away, like,
he's looking pretty good too.
Yeah, I can't acquire. Remember the last guy we sent away and then traded and then brought back?
Felton?
Yeah.
That worked out well.
Right now, Felton would be one of our better point guards. Andrew writes, what do you make of the reports that LeBron is pushing for the Cavs to acquire Melo, even if it means trading Love? Update, don't worry, I just saw that it was Frank Isola that said this, so it's probably BS. I was listening to Frank Isola on ESPN Radio earlier, and he was commenting how, like, now the media is being attacked. Like, he's like, it used to be people who accept with, like, what they'd say, and now, like, it's the whole Trump phenomenon attacking the media. Like, it's come to sports also, where everyone attacks the sports media too.
He's very touchy about that because he yelled at me on Twitter about that.
It was just interesting. Like, it is kind of weird how, like, everyone attacks the media so much now.
You saw that, right? He sent me like 20 DMs.
20?
Yeah, we went back and forth for a while.
Oh, I saw one. I didn't realize you guys were going back and forth.
Oh, yeah, no, it was a whole thing.
Really?
Oh, what yeah. Was, this
what was
went
he
on, this went on for like an hour.
Really?
Yeah.
Did he realize we're not the official? Like we're not actually connected to the team?
Like, I don't know.
Like he thought you were Phil Jackson, like direct messaging him?
He tweeted something like, can we finally admit that the media isn't pushing him out? So I sent a screenshot of his paper from that day that says Melo and Rose have to go. And I just put a question mark next to it, and he got so mad.
I'm reading here a quote from him. We all like Melo. We also don't have the power to push anyone out. If we did, why is that train wreck of a team president still here? You guys rationalize the Knicks' constant failures by deciding the media is to blame. It's so incredibly naive. I like the fact that I saw call the Knicks, Phil Jackson, a train wreck.
Yeah. Yeah, I do agree with him on that.
Yeah, I like that part of it. That's funny. I did not read all those other messages.
When we're done with the show, read it. It's pretty funny.
Okay. Gillum writes, I was going to post something like this. This is a must-lose game and so on in terms of tanking. No problem. We're losing this one hard anyway. I guess that was during the Laker game. Gillum also writes, do you think it may be better to trade Melo in the offseason or during the draft night? Aside from easier to manage salaries, maybe more teams are more open to getting a big player than a midseason, and maybe Melo is more open to the teams then. Yeah, I think that's a pretty solid argument.
Mm-hmm.
I think you should be focusing on trying to trade Rose right now because you can't trade Rose later.
Yeah.
Gillum writes, if Melo and Rose are gone, we'll for sure have a max space. How big do you think will be the temptation for the Knicks to start making big offers to second-tier free agents? In other words, do you think we'll have somewhere like 2016 or 2015 more realistic team building and so? So which should we go? Do we go with a realistic team building offseason or go, let's find another Noah?
Of course we're going to go the second route.
Of course we are. Anyone in mind? Any big free agents that are about to, like, over the hill? All in 5-year deal for Vince Carter?
George Hill.
Yeah. Gillum writes, the biggest fear of the start of the season was injuries, but the biggest problem has been lack of development as a team. Do you think it's fair to blame Horny for that? Personally, I think blame should go to the vets, especially Melo and Rose, who have not bought into Horny at all and have put their ego above all else.
Yeah, I know a lot of people are blaming the coach for the players not caring, but it's not a young rookie team. These guys are in their 30s. They should be caring.
I mean, it's also just hard. I think it's probably hard for a coach to come into a situation where there's a lot of vets and, like, get full control of the team. And, like, you may have more, and you probably have some control with the team's winning, but once the team starts losing, you lose control pretty fast when the team of vets.
Yeah.
And look at what's his name? Who was the guy that was the coach of the Cavs before Lou? David Blatt. Like, he had a team that went to the finals and kind of lost control.
Yeah.
It's hard. If the vets don't listen to you, then you're kind of screwed. Gillen writes, there's a report that James is pushing the Cavs to trade for Melo. Looking at Cavs roster, it only makes sense if Love goes the other way. Who or what would the Knicks have to add to convince the Cavs, and what would you be willing to do And would you be willing to do it? So let's just say you're gonna get Love with the plan of trading Love for draft picks after. What would you add to the Melo trade to get Love? You know what I'm saying? Basically, you're trying to get Love for the sole purpose of swapping him thereafter.
Yeah.
But so you need to get Love back, and the Cavs say no. What would you throw in to sweeten the deal to get Love?
Jennings, O'Quinn. We don't have many assets. I mean,
yeah. Anyone not named Hernan Gomez and Porzingis, I'm kind of open.
And Holiday.
And Holiday, yeah. I feel like Jennings would be kind of put them over the top.
Yeah.
But even though you just say you'd bring back Jennings, Jennings is going to be a free agent anyway. And the Cavs need him for right now.
Yeah.
Gillen writes, apparently Chad Ford's mock draft for ESPN Insiders has the Knicks selecting point guard De'Aaron Fox. He's supposed to be the fastest player in the draft, excellent defender, not developed three-point shot, but good mid-range pull-up and good passer. Ford does his mock drafts based on the team needs, too. Do you think this is the profile of the player the Knicks most need out of the draft, or what type of player would you prefer?
I want a point guard.
Yeah, the guy's a point guard, Jay.
I don't care. I don't care like what kind of point guard. I just want a point guard.
Well, we have point guards that we don't like them.
Well, that is a good point. I want I don't want as much of a ball dominant point guard. I want a guy who distributes and plays defense.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Distributes, plays defense. I think your 3-point shot can get better.
Like if Rubio had a better shot, that is the type of guy I'd want.
I mean, a lot of guys' shots get better over time.
Did you know Wade shoots 3-pointers now?
What Rubio? Who does?
Wade.
Dwayne Wade shoots 3-pointers?
He shoots 3-pointers now.
Did he develop that over the offseason?
He did.
Wow. I can't believe you could do that at this point in your career.
Hot take.
Wow. That's pretty good. This guy, the description they gave, I like that. I like the defender. I like the fact that I think you can develop your three like Dwayne Wade did. Pull up, good passer. Sounds good. Mm-hmm. Last question. Gillen writes, thoughts about what KP said. Oh, this is where it was. Said about lack of trust in each other. It's a quote, it's kind of everybody for themselves a lot of the time, both ends of the floor.
It's a lot of problems.
Yeah. You know what? Everyone's like, well, KP says he wants Melo to stay. I don't know how much KP's willing to admit, but that was the most honest quote you've gotten from KP of all the whole, like, that quote right there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is not good for his development, and he's lost with this lack of, like, team play.
I think Courtney Lee is stealth asking to be traded too, because he said, if the team wanted to blow it up, I wouldn't blame them.
I think Rose was like, if they're rebuilding, I may not be here. And we're like, yeah, no kidding. I think everyone wants to go. I think Courtney wants to go.
Yeah.
But so if the team goes full rebuild, trades away the vets and goes, do you like Courtney being the coach for the rebuild?
I'm not sure about Horny yet. I don't think he's, I'm not as mad at him as I've been about other coaches, but I'm also not convinced he's been great either. Like,
yeah.
I haven't seen really much improvement from anybody.
Well, it's been the opposite of improvement.
Right. Yeah.
And here's a quote. I agree with you. It's hard to say because this team, it's such a weird team to like judge him on. And I don't know initially. Like you have to think going forward. Do you think next year, if Phil is back next year, he's gonna be like, we need to assert the triangle again?
Oh God. Let's not even entertain that.
Okay, so here's the final question for the show. And in all seriousness, why does Mike Woodson not have a head coaching job again in the NBA?
He's a defense. He's
why? No, I understand he's an assistant coach for the Clippers. The Clippers have a great defense. Woodson's record as a coach is pretty good. His record, Atlanta, he made the playoffs a bunch of times. Knicks, he made the playoffs a bunch of times. Look how terrible they've been since Woodson's left. And now he's doing a good job with the Clippers. Not that I'm saying Woodson's all that great, because he's not. But do you think he'd be given another coaching job?
He probably will at some point. I think it takes a few years to get the Knicks stink off of you.
But like in anything, he'd be like, look at the Knicks, and look how good I was with the Knicks.
Like I said, takes a few years to get the Knicks stink off of you.
He probably has, like, outside of Riley, Red Auerbach, and Phil and Pat Riley, he probably has like maybe the best winning percentage of any Knicks coach.
Jeff Van Gundy.
I said Van Gundy, Riley, Auerbach, whatever, and then who else? Either way, Woods is probably top five.
Could be.
I think he's like 50 games over as a Knicks coach. Maybe not 50, like some ridiculously high number.
What did we learn today?
That I have gotten to the point where I'm asking about Woodson because of how goddamn awful the team has been. I don't know. What did we learn today, Jay?
We learned that this team's a dumpster fire.
Possibly, depending on how much you want to disgrace dumpster fires.
We learned that this team might be making some big, big moves in the next week or two.
Yes. Do you want to report your made-up rumors?
My sources say that Melo will be traded. And my sources also say that we are going to completely lose our crap because it's going to be a terrible trade.
You have pretty good sources.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Thank you for listening. We'll be back next Sunday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
And your apartment better be clean because you used handy.com. Promo code
Almighty 50 or Almighty 15 if you want other work done, such as plumbing or electrical work.
So if you want a handy, go to handy.com.
All right.
Happy trails to you. Bye. Bye, love.